Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go racing here at Knoxville.
Only the best go three of
it is showtime at Williams Grove Speedway.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here at Eldora Speedway, it's showtime.
You got a for a rep.
It's time to sit back, relax, and enjoy, because ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime!
Set to do battle for 30 laps, the green flag is waving.
Hello again, it is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Talking sprint car racing, our favorite time of the week, and we are so glad that you have joined us. We're here in Concord, North Carolina. Steve Post alongside Aaron Evernham. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Love Darlington weekends and lots of sprint car racing to follow along with as well. And all is well.
Good deal.
So fun stuff, that is for sure. And another sprint car week on the NASCAR Cup side with our winner with Kyle Larson getting the win.
That was cool.
Man, you want to talk about dirt track guys. You got Larson up there and Tyler Reddick running for the win at Darlington. That's just like...
And if there's one track to me that resembles anything of a dirt track type of feel, it's Darlington.
Yeah.
Running up against the fence like that.
Man, up against the fence, right on the edge. Yeah. Cars sliding all over the place, just gassing it up. And Larson and Reddick over the last 20 laps of that thing, just going at it. It was good stuff. It really was. And Kyle Larson, man, I'll tell you what, we're on a roll, moves to the next round of the playoffs. Owen's out running Cycle Land. Kyle's going to Silver Dollar Speedway. I mean, the guy's got a beehive of activity going on, but none of it seems to be suffering at all. Everything seems to be good.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
It really coolly is. It's fun stuff. It really is. I had Victory Lane duties, and Kyle has just become a very fun Victory Lane guy. He's reflective, winning Darlington. Folks, I know this is a sprint car program, okay? Winning Darlington matters to drivers. This is Williams Grove, probably the technically challenging racetrack
with the history
that has driven some of the top in the sports nuts forever. Look how long it took Brad Sweet to win at Williams Grove and what the relief was finally. This is probably where we're at with Darlington. It's just that kind of a racetrack. And so Lars got the win down there. Let's get into it. Our Hefto Racing product, Hot Topics, World of Outlaw, NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars, the Sage Fruit Sketch at Nationals and Gray Harbors. Winners, Sheldon Hodenshield, Rico Abreu, Brad Sweet, and Logan Schuart. But Aaron, I have talked about, I don't talk points until after Knoxville. We might not be talking points for long. Brad Sweet, okay, three of the four nights, Thursday, Saturday, and Monday, Brad Sweet finished ahead of David Gravel and Carson Macedo.
Mm-hmm.
Only on Friday night, and Brad was 11th, and they were in the top 10. This is starting to look like a Brad Sweet kind of deal. And the problem is that you're getting at the stage now you're going to have to rely on Brad failing or faltering.
Yep.
And remember that one stint we had, like where he went like 2 years without falling out of a race or something stupid, god awful like that. This is really just, he's starting, we're not there yet. They still are alive, but boy, he's starting to put a little bit of pressure on him, I'm sure.
Well, it's interesting in his Victory Lane interview talking about, you know, he's lost some races getting past near the end, but you know, he obviously has the consistency of still getting those top finishes, and he knows how to maintain his car and, you know, he's points racing, but it's interesting to hear him say that in Victory Lane. It's like, you know, I still wish he wishes he was winning more, when you're like, man, you're crushing it with the consistency.
Man, he is just, he is, He is uber talented.
Yes.
Watching Brad Sweet wheel a sprint car is a real treat to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's really, you're starting to see it. It takes these guys, it takes the greats a long time to refine it. They go out and win a bunch of races. Brad's refined it now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome to watch. It really is. All-Star Circuit of Champions. Love this one. Kerry Madsen and Zeb Wise. Zeb Wise is rolling.
Yeah,
we've seen him a lot. But how about Kerry Madsen? Picked up the ride midseason on the Vermeer number 55. Okay, I was just kind of looking through his stats. 10 straight top 10s.
Wow.
But that includes prelim night and the Knoxville Nationals, includes the high limits race at Husitz, and then a bunch of all-star races. Madman's keeping that 55 in good shape. And they're going to Port Royal now. We'll see what happens. Old Madman go up there and mix it up with a posse. It's going to be fun, that's for sure. Central Pennsylvania, speaking of the posse, Brent Marks is heating up. We're going to talk to Brent on the program today. Wins at Williams Grove. He picked up the $20,000 Dirt Classic win. It appears that we're seeing Brent Marks mid-summer last year. We're seeing Brent Marks now. And it's not the month of money, but it's the Pennsylvania month of money. And Brent Marks is starting to really establish himself up there as on top of it. So, and I'll be anxious. We're going to talk to him. I'll be anxious to see what his thoughts on that are. Freddie Raymer run Lincoln on Saturday. Brownie won at Sealands Grove on Sunday. Port Royal, Devin Borden won Saturday night. And the Maya, Dylan Cisney, won the Labor Day Fair race yesterday. Kind of messes something up, though, around here. We recorded our Wing Nation TV show last week with Dylan to talk about the fair week. And he messed us up by winning it. So I'm not happy with the mayor. No, I'm really happy for the mayor.
Yeah.
Dylan Cisney, and his reaction was finally won the fair race. You know, that's another one of those big races that,
especially when you're the mayor.
To win the Labor Day Fair race, it was good. Good stuff. So that kind of brings us to we've talked about this some over the balance of this year, double digit winners. We've added a lot to the list since the last time we talked about it. Freddie Raymer's added to his list. He's at 16. AJ Flick has added to his list. He's at 15. But we have four drivers now in 10 win category in the 410s. David Gravel, Rico Abreu, Brent Marks, and Mark Dobmeier. So, So starting to get some, starting to rack them up. And now it's going to be interesting to see with the Pennsylvania month of money and the stretch drive for the World of Outlaws. Mm-hmm. Where we're at with all of this, going to be good. So, second guest we have today, this is awesome, Gavin Boschel. Gavin is one of our Millbridge kids.
Yeah.
And I say kid, he's at school right now, okay? So I forget about this and remember back to our Dominic Selzy and days like that, where we had to get him out of study hall to do in. So Gavin's going to get a break. I think we hit him about lunchtime. But he won Friday and Saturday at Sweetwater, Tennessee, and then Sunday with USCS at Talladega Short Track, up to 7 wins, driving for Christopher Bell and Brian Kemenaw. So there's a lot I want to talk to Gavin about with that, what he's learning from those guys, and just cool. I think that's awesome. And finally, the Race Saver, IMCA Nationals at Eagle, Nebraska. Jeremy Hewish, a Kansas racer, picked up the win. And I love this. He drives the number 88J. The 88 is a nod to Steve King, the Kansas legend that lost at Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Hewish, congratulations on the IMCA Race Saver National Championship, that annual event, Labor Day weekend out at Eagle, Nebraska. Saw a little bit of a record of the preliminary. It looks like a fun time. Looks like I had a good time out there. Didn't get a chance to linger long and look around much, but good to see. That's a great event out there, and good to see Jeremy Hewish pick up the win. So there you have it, our Hefner Racing Product Hot Times, and our Hot Topics, that is. Hefner Racing Products, the absolute number one pit utility vehicle in sprint car and midget racing, is the Custom Mule Conversion from HRP, and it starts with a solid platform, dependable, great-looking Kawasaki Mule.
And it's customized and built to each customer specifications. There's options like generator, air compressor, shock and radius rod racks, amazing toolboxes and drawers, LED lighting, walk-on roofs, and more. HRP Mule conversions perform, outlast, and maintain their value better than any other utility vehicle.
www.hrpracing.com. That's hrpracing.com. Stay with us. Sage Fruit Outline fires off. Brent Marks, he joins us next.
Perfection isn't easily achieved. It takes hard work, dedication, and perseverance. Through their commitment to excellence, Sage Fruit Company has been supplying customers with the best tree fruit in the Pacific Northwest for over three generations. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide consistent, high-quality apples and pears all year long. Look for Sage Fruit at your local grocer.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's newest exhibit will be our track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway inside the museum's main floor from April 3rd through October 2nd this year. You'll learn about the beginning of Williams Grove Speedway and the evolution of sprint car racing on the East Coast through eight of the iconic big cars and sprint cars that made up the history of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania's Williams Grove Speedway. Plus, you'll see videos of historic national open sprint car races and other racing events that put Williams Grove on the map. That's the track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway, featured April 3rd through October 2nd at the only museum in the world solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa.
Don't look now. Brent Marks starting to get her wound up again. Mm-hmm. Really has that car rolling, picked up wins 9 and 10 of the season, including that $20,000 Dirt Classic at the fabulous Lincoln Speedway. And Brent joins us now on the Sage Fruit Hotline. Hello, Brent. How are you?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to catch up with you, that's for sure. I'll go with a little big picture. How good do you feel right now? Where are you guys at? Because it looks, from my perspective, you got her in pretty good shape. How are things going with the team right now?
Yeah, it's going great. We're having a lot of fun. Just been working extremely hard to get our program back to where it was the last couple seasons. And honestly feel like we're right there. So it's taken us quite a bit of time to get here, but just really happy with the whole Murray Marks Motorsports team and how hard they've been working. And it's been a lot of fun. So the last month we've been, I don't think we've finished outside the top five. So it's just been, it's been a blast.
Brent, I watched your interview with Jeremy Elliott, our good friend Jeremy Elliott, and you talked about how recently you guys have tried different things on the car. You're working on some things, and it reminded me of a conversation we had a few weeks ago with James McFadden. And he was talking about the tires and the different feel and how some of the setups they're running are something like completely different than you maybe would have run in the past. Is that something that you've had to work through? Is it related to the tires or what is it maybe that you're working on?
Yeah, I mean, when that tire first came out beginning of the year, I was pretty excited about it. It was something different, and I was actually, from knowing what it was supposed to do to the race cars, I thought it would make us a little bit better, but honestly, it made us worse. So it just didn't fit into our program very well, and we started really having to work on it, and we were just doing different things, and it just got to the point to where I felt like we exhausted all of our other options and we just needed to start working on things that we couldn't physically change at the racetrack. And, when we got to the Nationals week there for Knoxville, we tried a couple of different things and that week we just seemed to come up one spot short every single time we hit the track. And it was very disappointing. And after Knoxville there, and not making the Nationals, come up one spot short there. And on our way home, I said to my wife, I was like, missing the Nationals is awful and it sucks, but at the same time, it motivated the hell out of me. And after that, we just really, really, really got to work on changing different things. And it's been great ever since. And we've actually started a venture towards back to what we were doing last year on our race car was set up wise, but we've changed other things to compensate for what the tire is doing to our program. And I've been really happy with it. So, we'll just keep on working on it and just try to get better. And, you know, I know we've been running really well, but you know, we can always be better. So that's our main focus right now. You know, going into Tuscarora 50 week, I'm just really excited about it.
Now, Tuscarora 50 is coming up, and you're a former winner of that event. I do want to go back to Sunday night, the Dirt Classic. You know, and you don't see what we see watching these races, you know. But I can't imagine the feeling going into turn number three on the final lap of the bomb that Dietrich threw at you. That had to get your attention. And what's the mindset of a racer when you have a situation like that where something's right at the end thrown at you and you're just scratching and clawing to get to the line?
Yeah, well, I felt like I was in a difficult spot there. You know, racing, you know, in lap traffic with, you know, it was Freddie and then Anthony Macri. You know, and Kyle Moody was in the mix there, but you know, you got to realize at the beginning part of the race, the first half, I was racing both Anthony and Freddie for second.
Yeah.
And our cars were pretty equal. We were all three of us are just, you know, like I said, really equal, really good. And it was difficult to get by them. And I made a pass on both of them there on the front stretch and they got tangled up in one and two. And then once I got to the lead, I caught at the end of the field, you know, it was those two. So then I'm like, man, I got to figure out how to try to get by them again while they're lap traffic. And that was just really difficult because they were trying to move through the field and they were racing side by side with some of the cars. And I was right there with them. And it's just, you know, I just wasn't able to make any moves. And I just knew I was losing a ton of ground. And I looked up the scoreboard, seen Danny got the second. And he's always really good there at Lincoln. So I obviously knew that he was going to be there. And I was just trying to minimize my mistakes as much as I could. And coming to the white flag there, Freddie and the 99 went side by side in the three. And I had a run on them both. And I was right on their bumper going into three. So I was like, I'm just going to try to split through the middle and see if I could squeeze up in front of Freddie. But the middle was so dirty and I just lost so much ground. And I knew that he was going to be there. So it was just one of those situations going into turn three. I the top was better than the bottom. So I just had to leave the door open, let him slide me and try to turn back underneath. And fortunately it worked out. Fortunately, he was deep enough back there that the slider he threw, there was no stopping it. And he was going to drive it through the wall or drive it through me, one of the two. So it still worked out in our favor. So it was a tense ending to that race. But it was a lot of fun though. So it was definitely drama filled and great for the fans to watch.
Yeah, it certainly was an exciting race. So did you know that you won? Because you only actually won by what, a nose wing length. Did you right away know you had it?
Yeah. I could, you know, we could see there. So it was, So, I mean, I knew I won. I didn't realize it was the white flag, to be honest with you. And I just seen the checker and I was like, oh man, I'm glad I didn't make, you know, I'm glad I didn't try to turn underneath him any sooner or get stuck in that loose dirt there in the middle or anything like that. So it literally all worked out perfectly. So it's just one of those things, you know, it just ended up being lucky there at the end.
Well, lucky and good both. You certainly had the skill set, that's for sure, to make that move and to go forward with it. Tuscarora 50 this weekend, okay? I was just going back through this, Brent, okay? Last year, it was won by Anthony Macri and the Macri Motorsports car, which is no longer a team, there's a team and there's a driver. The year before that, it was won by Logan Wagner and the Zemco car. The year before that, Lance DeWeese with Kreitz. The year before that, Reitzel with Boffman. The year before that was the year that we outlaw race. So it was Donnie Schatz. We don't have to worry about Schatz. 17 and 16 were DeWeese and Kreitz. The last combination that is still intact that is there is 2015, Brent Marks, and it's Murray Marks now, but it's still your own team. Yeah. My God, dude, what is going on? And you even jumped to another ride at some time in there and came back to home. Holy cow, is this Tuscarora 50? This is whacked out how open this thing is.
I know, it really is. It's interesting. This year, I don't know what's been up with this year. There just must be something in the water or something. But it's just, there's so many people jumping rides and car owners making, you know, going different directions. And I don't know. It's just, it's not the best year to be a hired sprint car driver. I can tell you that. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, it's just, you know, I feel like our program's really good there at Port Royal. We were really good there for those twin races. And you know, obviously those guys are still going to be in contention to win that race, but, you know, being in different cars and you know, different programs, it's just, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for somebody like Anthony, for example, to win that race. And, you know, Bernie has a, you know, great program there, but it's still not the same as the 39M. So it's going to be a challenge for everybody. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the challenge. And, you know, with everybody switching up rides and, you know, changing seats, it's just going to mix it up a lot more. So I think it's just going to be one of those races that you're just not sure who's going to come out on top, but hopefully it's us. And that's the goal. But, you know, I feel like we're the only team that's really, you know, intact that has been in contention to win that race the last several years. So I'm looking forward to it and I'm excited. It's one of my most favorite races of the year. And just a cool environment up there. And it's going to be extremely hot this week. So, you know, I think that's going to play a role into it as well. It's just, you know, some guys get overheated inside the car. So it's just going to be interesting. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Brent, with all that said, how nice is it to go into this race with the momentum on your side, knowing that you guys have hit on some things with the car after going through maybe the beginning of the season of not having the results you want, to now know you're going to hit the money, you know, we're coming in with some great momentum?
Yeah, it's always great to have momentum on your side. You know, you're just, your confidence level's up. The team morale is up. Everybody's just happy. You know, so that's, you know, that's a part of racing or performance-based sports in general is, you know, the attitude of the team and the mindset. And, you know, if you yourself are down or your team is down, your success is going to be very limited. So, you know, I'm just really proud as far as, you know, that goes with my team as well, even through the struggles that we've had this year. We've had a roller coaster type of year. And even through the struggles, everybody's stayed strong and motivated. And I'm really proud of them for that. So, you know, now we're seeing results and we're seeing the success and it's well worth it. And I'm just, like I said, I can't stop saying, I'm just so excited going into this week. I really want to get another Tuscarora 51 under my belt. Mean a lot to me and my team, and we're just super excited about it. So, like I said, it's one of my most favorite races of the year to be a part of, and we're looking forward to it. And I feel like we have the car capable of winning, and I feel like I'm driving well enough to be able to win the race. So, but it is difficult. You know, it's a 50 lap race. We have, you know, a break halfway, which, I'll be honest with you, I absolutely hate races with the halfway break. So I'm just hoping that everything goes smooth for us. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I am sure it will. Brett, the final thing I have for you, and it's more big picture stuff. We went into this year. Okay, you have the World of Outlaws. You have High Limits starting off. And how many extra races everyone wants to run? Everybody wants to run every race on the planet. It's like, I want to run every High Limits race. I want to run every World of Outlaw race. You've been, of course, your own program. You do your own deal here. We all of a sudden get to June and July, and Jacob Allen's taking a break, and whatever's going on with Anthony's taking a break. Danny goes on vacation. You actually took a time period. Brownie passes up races in the Midwest to focus in on the Nationals, and you guys actually took a little time and said, okay, what's the deal? How valuable is it? We understand it's valuable to be racing, but how valuable is it as a guy running a team, or how do you have to do to manage all of that with the grind of sprint car racing in 2023?
So it's an extremely hard thing to manage just because of the amount of racing that and the amount of opportunities we do have. You know, this year especially, there seems to be more and more races that are paying more money. Yeah. So it's, you know, you want to be a part of all of them. But you know, I'm 32 years old now. You know, I'm not younger. I'm not as young as I used to be back in 1920, 21, when I was starting out sprint cars. I wanted to race 7 days a week and, you know, all that stuff. I wanted to race 200 times a year if I could. But, you know, your life changes, things change. You mature, you realize what's more important. And that's kind of where I've been at the last couple years. And, you know, our life outside of racing is extremely important. And it's healthy to have a good life outside of racing and not just revolve your life around one thing. And especially when you are going through some struggles and you just honestly need to take a step back from it, because you just keep beating your head against the wall, you know, you're just going to keep injuring yourself, you know. And that's just basically what it stems down to is, you know, everybody is putting on so many races, especially in the midsummer. And it's just so much racing and it's hot and your team is getting drained. The drivers are being drained and it becomes to be too much. And you got to realize, like I said earlier, you know, if you're mentally strong, if your mental state is good, you know, within the team as a driver, you're going to be more successful. And that's the thing. It's like when you get to the point to where you are drained and you just feel like you're going through the motions, you're not going to be successful. So sometimes you just need to take a step back and just take a break, you know, and wind down, get away from the sport. We all love the sport. And this is what we love to do. But that's what a lot of people don't realize is it is a performance-based sport. And the mental capacity that it takes to be successful in a performance-based sport is a lot. It takes a lot of your time, a lot of your mind. Like you constantly think about it, and sometimes you just need to just unwind from it. And that's been something that's been really important to me, been really important to my team. You know, we got to the point there in the summer where I could just see that they were just completely being drained and they were literally going through the motions and just, it was hard, you know, and I was getting to that point too. So it's like, we just need to take a break. Like, I know we're going to miss some big races here, but we just need to stop and unwind a little bit and concentrate on ourselves and our families. And that was really the decision behind it. And I'm a big believer in that. And I really think that series should start looking into that, you know. And I mean, yes, having 90 some races a year is great, but like we need to have some actual weekends off and not be like, oh, well, we rained out this weekend and we have this weekend off, so we're just going to make the race up that weekend. No, it's like if you have a weekend off, you're going to have the weekend off. And that's what I think we really need to start looking into. And same with Central Pennsylvania. We have, you know, you have the Speed Weeks and you have Knoxville Nationals and you have the Kings Royal. And, you know, there's a lot of racing in a short period of time. And I think even in Central PA, like you have Speed Week. I don't think any track should race the week after. Just allow people to have a break. I think you're seeing it as well. And, you know, as far as fans go too, and in the money aspect of things, it's like people don't have that kind of money to spend anymore. And we're seeing less and less people at races because we're racing so much. So there's just a lot of different aspects to look at it, and that's just kind of where I'm at with it.
I'm with you on it. I've actually had this conversation with a couple of World of Outlaw drivers and different other people that are talking about it. So, and I respect you for doing that, putting all of that at the forefront, the away from track stuff as much as the at track stuff. Brent, I'm telling you, we look forward to seeing what you do this weekend at the Tuscarora 50. We wish you the best, and maybe we'll be talking to you another week or two after you take some more money out of those tracks in Pennsylvania, but we certainly wish you the best in doing it.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
There we go. Brent Marks joining us here on the program. Stay with us. Gavin Bochelle is coming up next.
Perfection isn't easily achieved. It takes hard work, dedication, and perseverance. Through their commitment to excellence, Sage Fruit Company has been supplying customers with the best tree fruit in the Pacific Northwest for over three generations. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide consistent, high-quality apples and pears all year long. Look for Sage Fruit at your local grocer.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's newest exhibit will be our track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway inside the museum's main floor from April 3rd through October 2nd this year. You'll learn about the beginning of Williams Grove Speedway and the evolution of sprint car racing on the East Coast through eight of the iconic big cars and sprint cars that made up the history of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania's Williams Grove Speedway. Plus, you'll see videos of historic National Open sprint car races and other racing events that put Williams Grove on the map. That's the track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway, featured April 3rd through October 2nd at the only museum in the world solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa.
Wow. Aaron, we're working on dialing up Gavin Boschel. Brent's conversation there at the end. Wow.
Yeah.
He is, and folks, he is speaking for a lot of people in a lot of the drivers and teams in the industry. Brent's not on an island here by any stretch of the imagination.
No, not at all. I mean, we talked to James McFadden about it. We obviously know what Jacob Allen is going through. We saw Anthony Macri's post on Facebook. We've seen Danny Dietrich make comments like
Brownie,
this. Like,
Brownie, remember a couple Brownie, weeks ago? Brownie said, no, I could have gone here, but I decided we needed to stay
And he's right. It's the travel. It's the mental. You're constantly thinking about what you need to do better. It's all
fascinating, though, when you think about it.
And the heat and the crew and the there's a lot to it, and there's more and more races,
right? And yeah, they keep adding another $20,000 win race here, and another, you know, it's crazy. It really is. And on the surface, and on the surface, it's like we want more. Look at last year. We World of Outlaws are only going to get us four of these high limit. We want to run all of them.
Yeah.
And now look at this. We're like, we're doing the backup boogaloo with all of this stuff.
Backup boogaloo.
I am telling you, someone who is not backing up at all. He went down to Sweetwater, Tennessee, and picked up a couple, and then Talladega, Alabama. One of my Millbridge boys, Gavin Boschel, joins us. Hello, Gavin. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. What's it like to just go 3-for-3 on a weekend?
Oh, it feels really good as a driver and probably as a crew chief, too. You know, the cars hadn't been really good to do that, and you had to be pretty consistent, so I couldn't ask for more.
Gavin, we know that you drive for Christopher Bell, who's an amazing race car driver. But aside from just Christopher, what is it like to work with Brian Kemenaw? I've known him for 20 years, and he's one of the best in the industry. What has that been like to work with him as you get more and more into the sprint cars?
It's really cool. He's one of the best to do it, and he knows his stuff. So we've had a good bond, and he kind of knows what I like now. So it's been a lot easier. Stuff's been clicking. We've been hanging around the front more, and eventually we've been just starting to win. And he's a good dude. No matter winning or losing, we're always having a good time on the road, checking with him. So it's really cool to work with such a like amazing dude.
It really is, and Brian is he's just so respected and everything like that. Is the relationship like you talk about having a good time? Does he have to get on you at times? Is it arm around your shoulder? How does that work when you're learning this stuff and just continuing to develop your craft?
I haven't really had anything like that, but he doesn't really coach me that much. He knows like with the car, like when I like, ask him, like when he tells me, he's like, all right, you're making the right decision here, like with the car, the setup. So he kind of trusts me. I think he definitely leans on me a lot with the setup dependent, but he's so good at that stuff. He can just read the track and just know what it's going to do. But he doesn't really push me that much. I think he trusts me in what I do and what decisions I make.
Gavin, as a young and upcoming driver, what is it like to not only have Brian, but to have Christopher Bell, both of those people, to ask any question you want to and have them right at your fingertips?
Oh, it's really good to have that great of a driver all around. That source, it helps a lot. He's always texting me. He doesn't have to. He's always texting me, asking me what the car needs, what the track's doing, just kind of giving me tips and just anything he can help to make me a better race car driver.
Gavin, the transition, I mentioned this. I've watched you bang the boards and work around Millbridge Speedway for years and years. So much success up there. What have been some of the big challenges as you've gone from the small car to the full-size 360 sprint car?
I think at first, it was just kind of like size and just learning the speed of the car. But I've kind of learned to process everything from car to car. It was tough at first when I first started going from the midget to micro. It was really, really different from everything. But then I started going from the midget to the micro to the sprint car to the late model. It's hard. You know, you have to sit in the car for a second and just sit down and think and take a deep breath and know what car you're in, what driving styles you have to do. But I've kind of gotten to the point now where I kind of hop in anything and you got to be fast. So it's been hard, but I've started to learn it.
You mentioned the late models. I see you've been running some of the Cars Tour and some stuff with Chevrolet. What is it like at your 15 years old to manage a schedule of driving completely different race cars and just the logistics of it while going to school?
It's super hard. You know, I have to balance my school too. So my parents always make me go to school. So I have to maintain good grades and stuff like that. But the late model stuff has been fun. It's really, really different. I've been still learning on that stuff. Just need to get a little better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, you're on lunch break from school, right? We're not getting in any trouble with any of the classes, are you? Are we all right?
No, I'm on lunch break.
Okay, good. We used to have Dominic Selzy had to go to the teacher's lounge to make the call. So things have probably changed a little bit since then, but really, really neat stuff. Gavin, when you look at this, where's the next year? Where's the next couple of years? Where do you envision? Where are the hopes and goals of where you want to go with this?
I really want to race World of Outlaws full time NASCAR. That's really my end goal here. I love sprint car racing. I love the pavement stuff too. So I kind of want to manage both of them when I'm older.
I love that. Gavin, what's the short term plan? What do you have planned for the rest of the season? More sprint cars, more late models? What do you have on the docket?
I think a lot more sprint car and a lot more pavement stuff. Not much midget or micro anymore. Probably a few local shows at Millbridge, but really just the pavement and the sprint car, really just focus on that. And then, of course, the Chili Bowl.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It is fun stuff. It really, truly is. Really, really neat. Gavin, where did you, I mean, I know it was Millbridge where you started and everything. Where did you get the bug to go racing? Where did the racing come from in you?
It's kind of weird. My dad was a football player, so there was no racing in our family at all, but we were driving by Millbridge and I was like probably 3 and a half. We saw little outlaw carts going around when there's white tires and hay bales at Millbridge. And we got a cart from Nick Hoffman and Tyler Lewis. And we went to my little cul-de-sac in my neighborhood. And Tyler Lewis would have a string attached to the kill switch. And if I got too close to him, he would pull the kill switch. And then we went out to Millbridge in a little blue flame 5 cart and made a lot of laughs from Nick Hoffman. So it kind of originated off from there. And I kind of played football and basketball and racing. And I ended up playing football and racing. My dad kind of told me one day I have to make a decision, so I ended up picking racing, and all the rest is history.
You made the right call. That's for sure. We love it. That is, yeah. Man, dude, I'll tell you what, it is so much fun. I gotta tell you this and ask the question. I'm going to ask a question. Running the sprint car, how do you balance aggression versus patience on the racetrack? Because it's such a skill set, and you're a gasser, dude. I'm telling you what, you never have had a problem going fast, but how have you learned to manage that as a sprint car driver?
That's the first thing Kevin Sundell told me is the sprint car stuff, you're going to learn how to run in the slick. You're going to really need to be an egg under your foot the whole entire time and know when to push the car to the limit and when to kind of ease back and not push the pace. But it's been hard, you know, like at Talladega, I was kind of half throttle around the whole entire track. I wasn't even really pushing the pace, just letting the tires catch up. But I think there's times where you need to push the car, but you don't want to push it too much to where you start making mistakes. It's kind of all, it's definitely a big mind game, and you just don't want to get to you.
The reason I asked that question, I went down to Traveler's Rest and watched you win down there. And as I said, I know one problem you don't have is the gas pedal. Okay, you can gas a car up with the best of them. When I left Traveler's Rest, I thought, okay, in my opinion, Gavin Bochel has drastically changed his game. That night, you're leading the race, and you ran across a couple of times some lap track. It was a one-groove trap. And you ran into lap traffic that was significantly slower, and you were patient, and you would get around them and get back down to the bottom. It's a tough thing job. That's got to be it's got to be a challenge though for a gasser to have that patience.
Yeah, I like at I-55, we're in the lap traffic and there was two lanes, so they're on top and bottom. So I kind of had to wait for the right time. I knew I felt like I had a pretty good lead, so I just didn't want to do any bonehead move or make a dumb decision to where I would just lose the lead and just take me out of the race or take someone else out of the race for no reason. So I kind of just waited for a gap to open and I shot the middle and just kind of was just pacing myself, not really pushing it too much, not pushing the limit, just kind of ride at a good pace and just kind of staying calm.
You were doing a wonderful job, that's for sure. Gavin, I've waited for this day, the first time to get you on Wing Nation. I'm really excited that we had a chance to do it. Wish you the best on the balance of the season, and I know we'll talk to you again, but thanks for joining us this time on Wing Nation.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
There we go. Gavin Boeschel joining us on the Sage Fruit Hotline. I kid you not. When I left Traveler's Rest,
I've always had you actually saying that to me. Yeah. When you came in here.
I came in and said it to you. I've always had a lot of respect for Gavin. Love his mom and dad. Great, great people. Always did. And to my knowledge, Gavin has had one speed. And that's a good speed to have. When I left Traveler's Rest, we need to keep an eye on this guy.
Yeah.
Because he is figuring out that one speed is not always the answer. Victory lane and getting to the win. And he drove a great race at Traveler's Rest. And sounds like he's doing the same thing at Talladega. So yeah. Fun stuff, that's for sure. Appreciate Gavin Boeschel joining us here on the Sage Fruit Hotline. Stay with us. More Wing Nation in just a moment.
Perfection isn't easily achieved. It takes hard work, dedication, and perseverance. Through their commitment to excellence, Sage Fruit Company has been supplying customers with the best tree fruit in the Pacific Northwest for over three generations. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide consistent, high-quality apples and pears all year long. Look for Sage Fruit at your local grocer.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit. We are having a ball, that is for sure. National Sprint Car Hall of Fame birthday calendar. Holy cow, man, I'll tell you what.
A lot of birthdays this week.
Lot of birthdays. Boy, there was, I'll tell you, Dave Darlin, Bobby Grimm, Jackie Holmes yesterday. Tomorrow, Burt Emick, Earl Haliquist later this week, Larry Dixon, Bill Utz, Roy Bud Grimm, Hector Henori, John Pagen, Art Pillsbury, Sammy Sessions. Today's Brent Kading. Happy birthday, Brent Kading, BK. Today would have been the birthday of 1996 inductee, Willie Davis. Willie Davis was born in 1930 in Los Angeles, fell in love with the hot rods out in California, started wrenching on cars, including wrenching on one of the cars that won Bonneville South Flats.
Wow.
Speed thing. 1961, he built his first sprint car, hired some guy by the name of Johnny Rutherford to drive it. Other drivers, Chuck Hulse, A.J. Watson, Al Unser. In 1968, hired a guy by the name of Gary Bettenhausen. Now, if you know your USAC history, you know this began what was affectionately known as the Larry and Gary Show. Gary Bettenhausen and Larry Dixon, they would travel the country just wearing everybody else out, winning races and championships. Gary did it in a car owned by Willie Davis. Continued, they won multiple championships, a lot of races, continued working as a mechanic for Galen Fox, Tony Bettenhausen, A.J. Watson, Grant King, and Smokey Unick. Man, oh man, what a story.
Yeah.
What a great, great story. And Willie Davis' story is forever enshrined in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. He passed away in 2017, but I love the story of Willie Davis. That is some good stuff, that's for sure. Really, really cool. And you can become a member of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame for just $25. Gets you all kinds of perks. And membership has its advantages, as they say. This weekend, Aaron, we are going to have to keep one eye on one side of the country and one eye on the other.
Yeah.
This is wild. Okay. Let's go to the East Coast because it's Tuskegee 50 weekend. Mm-hmm. Not only do we have to keep our eye on the track, but the fair food. I am not a friend, I am a friend of, Wanda Dietrich, Danny Dietrich's mama. Boy, I'll tell you what, she'll send out she did that yesterday, right? I literally walk in the house, I'm starving. And I go to Twitter, and Wanda Dietrich has sent the fair food thing. And I'm like, my woman, stop doing that. No, start doing that. We love that. I actually posted on our Wing Nation page yesterday, you're going to do it anyhow, Posse fans, so yeah. Just do it. Here's your invite to do it. Taunt us. Thursday and Friday night, All-Star Circuit of Champions. Saturday night, 56 grand to win. Tuscarora 50, as we talked about. This thing is wide open.
It really is.
It's fascinating.
When you talked about the teams that have won it the last, four or five years that are no longer together.
Macri and the Macri 39, and then the different drivers in different cars. Yeah. So 2021, it was Logan Wagner in the Zemco car, but Logan is now in the Kreitz car, because in 20 it was Deweese in the Kreitz car. Kreitz is in the Macri car. My God, yes. And then, you know, so it goes back, and then we had 18. This was when it got rain delayed, and they made it the World of Outlaw race. So Schatz, probably the only chance a World of Outlaw driver could ever win the Tuscarora 50, Donnie Schatz, imagine that, did that. But it goes back to 2015 when Brent Marks and his family 19M was the same combination is there. So it's wide open. I mean, you got Brownie over there. Brownie won Sealands Grove. He's gonna keep coming over to Pennsylvania and win one of these things.
Absolutely.
He's that good. I mean, so it's gonna be awesome. So while they're doing that on one side of the country, Brad Sweet, Colby Copeland, and Kyle Larson, the guys that run Silver Dollar Speedway, they're having a party on the other side of the country. It's Gold Cup weekend. Wednesday night 360s. Thursday through Sunday, World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars are through Saturday night. Saturday night's paying $25,000 to win the Gold Cup at Chico.
I love it. I just love to see that race revitalized.
Brad and Kyle and Colby, this is okay. We have Trophy Cup coming up later on. That's a party. We have Terry McCarl with a party and a race breaks out. But what that trio are doing at Silver Dollar Speedway, folks, if you're able to go, you need to go for the weekend, because they're adding all kinds of stuff to it.
Yep.
And then the racing will be great.
Yeah,
the racing.
I've seen Caitlin was recruiting for the bikini contest still. There was some spots available last I saw.
Oh, I thought she might have been recruiting you for the bikini contest.
Oh, please no. Yeah. Heck no. No one wants to see that.
When you said Caitlin was recruiting for the bikini contest.
Not me.
I'm like
on social media. Dear God. Woo.
Woohoo. There we go. The Gold Cup is back. That's really what you can say about it. It's been there for a while. Man, I remember you used to say he won the Knoxville Nationals, he won the Kings Royal, he won the National Open, he won the Gold Cup.
Gold
he
Cup
won the Big
always
Four.
Always up there, yeah.
That was always up there. And the race continued on, and grateful that the race continued on, because when these things go away, they most times don't come back. So those that trudged along with it to get us to this point entered Brad and Kyle and Colby, and they're like, we want this to be back up where it belongs. And so $25,000 to win, it's getting there. 60-some cars, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, man, there are going to be some late nights for you, Aaron. There's going to be late nights for you, Aaron, watching on
Dirt Vision. I'm so old. I got to watch it in the morning.
There we go. Absolutely. So the Gold Cup. All kinds of other racing action. I saw this. Oh, Attica has their season championship. Now, why these tracks are having season championships?
The nerve.
So what this means is, if you're a sprint car fan, you better get out to the track. Fun stuff. It really is. So great, great show today. Man, I'll tell you what. I love the conversation we had with Brent Marks. The conversation about the here and now, the breakdown of Lincoln, Port Royal, and everything.
And his candor.
But this burnout is real. And I know that there's you go on there and you post something about this, and the sixth person will say, but Sammy and Steve. Well, Sammy and Steve are different cuts than it's a different time. It's a different time. It's a different era. We used to go to movie theaters where your shoe would stick to the floor. Try that now. We used to listen to music on 8-track cassette track tapes. Craiger knows all about this. I'm much younger, but Craiger.
I love 8-track tapes.
He loves 8-track.
Vinyl.
Vinyl. Well, vinyl's coming back, because vinyl's cool, but 8-tracks are never coming
back.
Eight-tracks are never cool.
Yes, they were.
Well, they were cool, but they suck, but they were cool.
Trans Am with the T-tops off.
Yeah.
8-tracking.
But we don't do that now, because we all want our music digital.
Yeah.
Everything is different.
Ugh.
And sprint car racing should be different, too. And it's a great problem that everybody wants to host a sprint car race and wants to pay more money, but we're getting to the stage where it's like, woo, man, people are wrung out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, we've seen it. And those are the ones that are saying it publicly. There's a whole lot more that are not saying it publicly. So it is going to be a fascinating time. And this just dovetails into whatever in the wide world of sports is going on with sanctioning bodies next year.
Yeah.
Okay. You can hear every rumor, every speculation out there. I don't know how we're going to manage this. Because if you believe everything you hear, there's going to be 275 national touring races that are all paying $60,000 or more to win. Now, I know I'm being extreme.
That's a little...
I don't know how this is going to work out. And it's just going to be fascinating to follow along.
Yep.
Because it's just... I'm just curious. And this is... I'm curious if you're Brian Carter or if you're Tony Stewart with the All-Stars, if you're Brad and Kyle with High Limits, you're sitting around, we have been go, we need 80, 90 races, and all of a sudden in 2023, it's like, whoa, hold up. How do you manage this going forward? I don't have the slightest idea how they manage this, and I don't envy them in doing it.
Yeah, because there's no backing down, really.
No. How do you go backward?
People are still going to show up.
Exactly.
It's going to be,
look, they when Williams Grove takes off for the Knoxville Nationals, Clinton County hosts the race, or Big Diamond hosts the race, and people go.
People go.
I don't know. It's going to be a fascinating time, but the burnout is real.
Yes.
The burnout is real, and it just, every one of us in our walk of life, find that balance, find that. I'm dealing with it. Brent and I, we chatted after the interview, and I'm drawing a lot of walls in my life between work, and I love motorsports all the time. I went to 160 races last year. I'm drawing walls. I'm drawing lines. When I get done here today, I've got one more project, and I'm going home, and I'm going to work around the house, and I'm going to listen to some music and like that. You just got to do it, but it's going to be fascinating how it impacts us in the sprint car land. It really, truly is. Fascinating also because it is Tuscarora 50, Juniata County Fair Week coming up, and on our Wing Nation television program presented by Sage Fruit, we have the mayor, Dylan Cisney, talking about the whole mayorship, how that came about, and everything else. It was great, great stuff, great conversation. But again, I will qualify that by saying we talked to him last week or 2 weeks ago before. We talked to him before he won yesterday on the program. You can get Wing Nation gear at Port Royal this weekend, the Tom Book Motorsports Justin Peck merchandise trailer, or you can go to www.shopwingnation.com. That's shopwingnation.com. She's Aaron Everham. I'm Steve Post. We appreciate Brent Marks and Gavin Boeschel for joining us this time. But more important than all of that, thank you for joining us here on Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit.
This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.